Gracious and loving God, open our eyes to the opportunities you give us to bless others. Forgive us when we invest all our time, effort, and interest only in those whom we already know and who we know can repay us. Use us to bless those from whom we can expect nothing in return. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I'm going to sit at the welcome table, shout my troubles over, walk and talk with Jesus. Tell God how you treat me one of these days. This, the introduction to Alice Walker's short story, The Welcome Table, from a line in an old spiritual. Listen to these words from the first part of Walker's story. The old woman stood with eyes uplifted in her Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, high shoes polished about the tops and toes, a long rusty dress adorned with an old corsage, long withered and the remnants of an elegant silk scarf. There was a dazed and sleepy look in her aged blue-brown eyes, but for those who searched hastily for reasons in that old tight face, shut now like an ancient door, there was nothing to be read. And so they gazed nakedly upon their own fear transferred, a fear of the black and the old, a terror of the unknown as well as the deeply known. Some of those who saw her there on the church steps spoke words about her that were hardly fit to be heard. Others held their pious peace. And some felt vague stirrings of pity, small and persistent and hazy, as if she were an old collie turned out to die. She had come down the road toward the big white church alone, just herself, an old forgetful woman, nearly blind with age. Just her and her eyes raised dully to the glittering cross that crowned the sheer silver steeple. She had walked along the road in a stagger from her house, half a mile away. Perspiration, cold and clammy, stood on her brow and along the creases by her thin, wasted nose. She stopped to calm herself on the wide front steps, not looking about her as they might have expected her to do, but simply standing quite still, except for a slight quivering of her throat and tremors that shook her cotton stockinged legs. The reverend of the church stopped her pleasantly as she stepped into the vestibule. Did he say, as they thought he did kindly, "Auntie, you know this isn't your church"? As if one could choose the wrong one. But no one remembers, for they never spoke of it afterward, and she brushed past him anyway, as if she had been brushing past him all her life. Except this time, she was in a hurry. Inside the church, she sat on the very first bench from the back, gazing with concentration at the stained glass window over her head. It was cold, even inside the church, and she was shivering. Everybody could see. They stared at her as they came in and sat down near the front. It was cold, very cold to them too. Outside the church, it was below freezing and not much above inside. But the sight of her, sitting there somehow passionately ignoring them, brought them up short, burning. An usher asked her to leave. Can you imagine? She waved his frozen blonde hair out of her face. And finally, it was the good ladies of the church who did what to them had to be done, and they asked their husbands to throw the old colored woman out, which they did. I will stop here, but the story goes on to describe in great detail how the men physically and decisively removed the old woman from the church, and how their wives felt at once justified and scornful at her removal. So today's lesson seems to be all about who has a rightful place at the table. Who's in and who's out? Well, who gets to decide that? What would Martha Stewart do? How to seat guests is still an etiquette nightmare for some of us when we give parties or have dinners. We might not always get it right, but Jesus makes it clear. I like this parable because Jesus did the heavy lifting for us. It's not mysterious at all. He's quite clear on what he says. In verses 12 to 14, he says, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Well, I think it's safe to say that Jesus was probably never a dull dinner guest. And during his ministry from town to town, Jesus received invitations to eat in many homes, some poor, some well-to-do, others somewhere in between. And he always had something to say that was worth listening to. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone always liked what he had to say. In fact, there were times when no one liked what he had to say. But Jesus clearly sets the tone of the conversation at this table. The most obvious part of this parable is about who is at the table. Jesus starts out by teaching the guests about table manners. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place. In those days, and I suspect even today, social status was obvious based on the seating of dinner guests. And here I'm thinking of the gala, how much fun that's going to be to assign seats at the gala. And Jesus tells the guests to seek the lower place so the host may move them up higher. If you humble yourselves, you'll be exalted, and if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. Jesus also directed his comments to the host, saying, "When you hold a special meal, invite those who are least able to reciprocate. Do it out of love. Invite out of the goodness of your heart. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And don't look for status, but rather bless them with your generosity. you will be blessed because, again, they cannot repay you, but God will reward you. The inclusive nature of Jesus was revealed by the company he kept. Table fellowship meant full acceptance of one another, no matter a person's status. Having those other people at the table is not just a nice thing to do. It's not just the polite thing to do. It is the right thing to do. And it probably makes for a more interesting table. People who don't look like us, don't talk like us, walk like us, behave like us, dress like us, help us to understand the beauty and wisdom of God a little better. Better than we can understand ourselves. But we will be blessed just because they are at our table. We are being called to include people that are different from us, who cannot repay us at our tables as part of our community. Yale theologian Miroslav Volf calls this the drama of embrace. This embrace is the will to give ourselves to the other and welcome them, to readjust our identities, to make space for them prior to any judgment about others, except that of identifying them in their humanity. Now, it did not escape me that there is no mention of the food that was served at the banquet. And maybe, just maybe, that's because God wants us to realize that the people are the focus, not the food. Now, we all know as we prepare food at our own tables, we know that it's important and we want to do a good job, but that's not as important as what we will share with the others at the table, what we share other than food. The table is not only where we say grace, it is a space where one extends grace. There is a Near Eastern proverb that says, "I saw them eating and I knew who they were." This isn't so much about a distinct way of eating, but who we eat with. Whose company are we in? Jesus spoke to us all, guests and hosts, the haves and the have-nots, about hospitality, about inclusiveness, about our tables, about this table right here. This table is invaluable to us all, not only because of who is at the table, but because of whose table it really is. It's not ours. It belongs to Jesus Christ, who is both guest and host. Everyone, and let me repeat, because we say this every week and hopefully we mean it, everyone is invited to this table. The banquet is free. You and I have received an invitation to this table for no reason other than the love and grace abundantly and freely given by God. So some of you may be wondering what happened to that little old lady, the one that was removed from the church. The old woman stood at the top of the steps, looking about in bewilderment. She had been singing in her head. They had interrupted her. Promptly, she began to sing again. Suddenly, she looked down the long gray highway and saw something interesting and delightful coming. She started to grin toothlessly with short giggles of joy, jumping about and slapping her hands on her knees. For coming down the highway at a firm but leisurely pace was Jesus. She would have known him, recognized him anywhere. Ecstatically, she began to wave her arms for fear that he would miss her. All he said when he got up close was, "Follow me." And she bounded down to his side. They walked in deep silence for a long time. Finally, she started telling him about how many years she had cooked for them, and how many years she had cleaned for them and nursed for them. She told them how they had grabbed her when she was singing in her head and tossed her out of his church. "An old heifer like me," she said. She broke the silence one more time to tell Jesus how glad she was that he had come, how she had often looked at his picture hanging on her wall over her bed, and how she never expected to see him in person. She did not know where they were going. Somewhere wonderful, she suspected. The ground was like clouds under her feet, and she felt she could walk forever without becoming the least bit tired. She even began to sing out loud some of the old spirituals she loved. They walked on, looking straight over the treetops into the sky. The people in the church never knew what happened to the old woman. They never mentioned her to one another or to anybody else. Most of them heard sometime later that an old colored woman fell dead along the highway. Silly as it seemed, it appeared she had walked herself to death. Many of the black families along the road said they had seen the old lady, sometimes singing, sometimes silent and smiling, looking at the sky. She had been alone, they said. Some of them wondered where the old woman had been going so stoutly that it had worn her heart out. They guessed maybe she had relatives across the river some miles away, but none of them really knew. "I'm going to sit at the welcome table. Shout my troubles over. Walk and talk with Jesus. Tell God how you treat me one of these days. Amen."